Welcome to Cowboy Church with your host, Russ Weaver, and Susie McIntyre. So sit back and enjoy some good singing, some great testimony, and some good preaching. Welcome to Cowboy Church.
Hey, I'm Susie McIntyre.
And I'm Russ Weaver.
And we're in part two of our message with Johnny. And I have, I don't say this a lot, so Wagamuth.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
Good job.
Woo-hoo.
And like a gentleman, he said, yes, ma'am. So you guys have a tight relationship.
Yeah. Johnny's my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so privileged to have him as my pastor. We've been working with each other here at the church for 12 mm-hmm. and a half years
12
now.
12 and a half years.
Yeah.
Wow. No fisticuffs or anything like that, huh?
Oh, not even close.
Yeah.
No. Well, we've ganged up together for somebody else, you know, but between ourselves.
That's good. So, Johnny, what's the gist of your message?
Repentance.
Repentance.
Yes.
This is our second week on repentance.
Second week.
So, and we're going to start at the middle here this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've repented, but then there's this week we're going to, what'd be the tease for where we're going here?
Well, really, after we make, a U-turn, mm-hmm. repentance is really just turning around. After
right.
we make that U-turn,
right.
get right in our relationship with the Lord, now it's just keeping it between the lines. Now it's just keeping the road straight,
uh-huh.
Yeah, if
it's
you need to correct,
hard.
Slight adjustment, slight correction.
Well, we're in the spring right now, and this may be shown later, but it's a little bit hard to keep it in straight down the road with all this mud and stuff.
Yeah,
and it's
wind.
Kind of wind. An analogy of there's so much muck and mire out there. People mm-hmm. have trouble. They're not a pastor like you.
Yeah.
They're not one that, thinks about what's going on with the Lord and gets into the Word and is fortified and is surrounded by good people.
You know what I love about you, Susie?
What?
Is you always bring up exactly what people really do. You say, now here's the truth. And then they say, well, but there's...
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, people are out
but
there.
But you think on the outside of the box here.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I've
absolutely.
Got a friend who teaches in a university that is very, very liberal. And he's a believer. He's got a doctorate in mm-hmm. theology.
Yeah.
And yet he told us the other day, I just want to be kind. I want to show the love of God to
there
people.
Yeah.
So here we are in the muck and the mire and the ruts, they're getting deeper and deeper and deeper because mm-hmm. people want less of God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we're asking them to repent.
Yeah.
But repentance only comes from the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, that still small voice. We mm-hmm. had Jeremy on here not too long ago. And that still small voice, he was in the midst of depression and yet God came through.
You bet.
At a very young age of 19.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it can happen to anybody.
Yeah.
Well, I what I do when I see a no U-turn sign? I just
want to do it, don't you?
I just make it in a W.
So, I think we better stop looking and listen.
All right. We better go to the real message.
We better go to the real message. I enjoy you, Johnny. You're a shining star. That's not a star like Reba. It's a shining star for Jesus. You just eluded.
Thank you.
No,
well,
you don't elude it. You exuded.
Exuded. Okay. Yeah. You almost got put in the same sentence with Reba. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to sing a song I hope you enjoy, and then Johnny's going to speak for us about repentance and what do we do after repentance, because repentance can be pretty hard on us. I mean, we have to admit we have been going the wrong way and we need to turn around. I just pray today that this message will speak to every one of us. Sit back and relax. Let's go to Cowboy Church.
Jesus is the rock of our salvation, and we should always take everything that we have to the rock. Would you stand up? You've been sitting there for a little bit, and you don't have to stand up through the whole song. Just kind of get a little circulation there, wake yourself up. Thank God for a little bit of the sunshine that came through. When trouble comes like a hurricane, You're just about to go insane. Well, I know a place where you can hide. It don't matter if you're rich or poor, 'cause this house has an open door for all broken hearts and worried minds. So take it to the rock of salvation. Take it to the rock that never will roll. Take it to the rock whose name is Jesus. Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. When life hits you like a moving train, and all you see is thunder and rain, well, say a prayer and the sun will come shining through. And when your back's up against the wall, you're on the edge just about to fall, well, his hand will be there to rescue you. So take it to the rock of salvation. Take it to the rock that never will roll. Take it to the rock whose name is Jesus. Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. 'Cause in the shelter of his love, the weak will be made strong. For a house will never crumble if he's the cornerstone. Come on, put your hands together. Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. Just take it to the rock of salvation. Take it to the rock that never will roll. Take it to the rock whose name is Jesus. Take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock, the unshakable rock. Sing it to the person next to you. And take it to the rock.
Take it to the rock,
the unshakable rock. Now, none of y'all looked at the other person. Take it to the rock. Come on, sing it to them. The unshakable rock. Here you go. Why don't you take it to the rock?
Take it to the rock,
the unshakable rock. And take it to the rock,
take it to the rock,
the unshakable rock. Now I want you to give a person next to you, I want you to give them a big old hug and tell them you're glad they're here today, would you? Well, I think there's been some new life brought into this church this morning. And if that's you, then you have new breath. You have new being. You have new purpose. And I want to sing this song for you. There's a new wind blowing like I've never known. I'm breathing deeper than I've ever done. And it sure feels good to finally feel the way I do. And I want to love somebody. Love somebody like you. I'm letting go of all the lonely yesterdays. I've forgiven myself for the mistakes I've made. Now there's just one thing, the only thing I wanna do.
It's what Jesus said when he came to earth.
I wanna love somebody like you. Yeah, I want to feel the sunshine shining down on me and you. And when you put your arms around me, let me know there's nothing in this world I can't do. I used to run in circles going nowhere fast. I take one step forward, end up two steps back. I couldn't walk a straight line, even if I wanted to.
Sound like anybody here?
I wanna love somebody,
love somebody like you. Oh, here we go.
Y'all put your hands together with me. Turn to the person next to you and say, that sounds a lot like you. Oh, yeah, y'all brightened up the room with your smile. You can keep the smiles on and tell them something every once in a while. It'd be okay with us.
Yeah, I want to feel the sunshine shining down on me and you. And when you put your arms around me, you let me know there's nothing in this world I can't do. Sometimes it's hard for me to understand, but you're teaching me to be a better who I am. Don't want to take this life for granted like I used to do. No, no, I want to love somebody like you. I want to love somebody like you. I want to love somebody like you.
Friends, even now, our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. There's a clock counting down to the day of the Lord. And in fact, in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, we can kind of take a quick look at that. As followers of Christ, we should live with an expectation every day that Jesus could come back at any moment. Friends, there's nothing else historically or biblically or prophetically that needs to happen before Jesus comes back. The stage is set. Everything is ready to go. All we have to do is be ready. And encourage others who don't know him yet to get ready, because it could come at any moment. Any moment. The Lord could come back even before we say amen in this gathering. He could come back. So I think that as Christians, we should always have a desire and a I guess the butterflies in our stomach spiritually should be like, I mean, it could happen today. I'm so excited for that. It could happen. Why? Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Friends, this countdown is real. The sobering fact is that even though we can't physically see it, there's a clock counting down. Can't see it physically, but we can really perceive it. We can feel it in our spirits. We can feel that time is drawing to a close because the days are evil. And in fact, you know, friends, I'd venture to say that we're living in a day of unique evil. I say unique because the evil nowadays, it doesn't even make sense. It's just turned on its ear. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's so evil, it's comical. You just have to sit back and kind of just chuckle in a serious way and go, I cannot believe this is happening. I can't believe I'm watching this. I can't believe we're actually seeing this unfold. This is crazy. And then for a lot of us, a lot of righteous anger rises up and we're like, the people of God end up saying, we're not going to put up with this diabolical nonsense anymore. We're going to do something about this. And the Holy Spirit leads us to make a difference. And he really is. The Lord's making a difference, friends. We're not on the losing end of this thing. We're on the winning end. But it kind of seems like common sense and
clear-headed thinking have just been thrown out the window. For people to try to believe in what they're believing in and buying into what they're buying in now, it's just unreal. Friends, the enemy has really deceived and blinded a lot of people. The Bible refers to these days as the days of Noah. In fact, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 addresses them. Genesis 6, 5 says, "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that," get this, "every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time." Friends, that's why repentance is so important in this day and time. The people of God, that's us, the church. We can't operate with one leg in the world and the way it operates, and then one leg in the kingdom of God. It's like walking on the curb, you know, in the road. It's we're off balance. It's because those two kingdoms are opposite of one another. That's why true repentance and turning our lives toward the Lord is so important, because today is the day of salvation. So now what happens after true repentance? What does that look like after we give our lives totally to the Lord and say, "Lord, please forgive me, come into my heart, come into my life. I want to live for you now." What does that look like after repentance? Well, in Acts chapter 2, we see an incredible day happen called the day of Pentecost. It happens in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. It's when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. This is a day 50 days after Resurrection Sunday, where Jesus, when the day of Pentecost happened, when those that were gathered together in the upper room were baptized with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. After this incredible, miraculous event happened, in the accompanying sign of the promised Holy Spirit, Peter stands up, and in Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 41, he stands up and he addresses everyone that's been a part of this amazing day with the proclamation. And after that powerful, effective sermon, the people were ready to respond. In fact, let's check it out. I'll pick up in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 41. "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart." Friends, when you read the word heart in Scripture, it's not just talking about the organ that pumps blood through our bodies. It's talking about the totality of our being, who we are, what makes us up, mind, body, soul, spirit. So after people heard what Peter had talked about, they're convicted, they're cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and all the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Like, guys, how do we respond now? What do we do? To that, Peter says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." Verses 40 and 41. "With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day." Turn it around. That's exactly what everybody did. They said, "Brothers, what are we to do? What are we supposed to do with this? How do we react? How do we process? What's next?" And Peter just simply says, "Well, friends, all you have to do is repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins." Turning it around. Well, then we can come back to John the Baptist as he's saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." So now, after the spiritual U-turn, after true repentance, after giving our lives fully to the Lord, what happens next? Well, now we just keep it between the lines, right? We're simply headed in the right direction now. Now, we just need to keep it between the lines. Slight adjustments are going to need to happen in our new relationship with the Lord. So now let's check out Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's time of prayer, time of worship. So they're walking, not driving, of course. They're walking, they're afoot. And they're walking to the temple and they see a beggar right there that's always been there. He's always begging for money, you know, clanking cup. Hey, can you spare some change? Hey, I'm a beggar. Hey, can you help me out? And he does that to Peter and John on the way to the temple. So Peter doesn't give him any money. He says, hey, look at us. I don't have any spare money. I mean, I don't have any money. But what I'm going to do for you is way better than just getting you by for another day. It's going to be better than just dropping a few coins in your cup. In fact, here's what I'm going to do. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. It's better than a few cups or a few coins in your cup, right? So after this incredible miracle, well, this draws a crowd because people see this guy. He wasn't a new addition. This guy's like a sidewalk ornament. He's there all the time. People see him. They know him. They recognize him. A lot of times people have just, I'm tired of giving that guy money. I'm just going to keep on walking. They recognize him. Well, this draws a crowd. Because if you see a guy healed and you see the two guys who evidently must have healed him, well, people are going to go, hey, you see that guy is the beggar. He's walking around now. These two guys did something, told him to get up, and he got up and he started walking. Well, it draws a crowd. So then Peter explains to this crowd and gives them another sermon similar to the one that he gave on the day of Pentecost to that crowd. See, the sermons in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, they move from proclamation to a call for repentance. Acts chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Luke writes, he says, now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had fulfilled through all the prophets, saying that his Christ, or the anointed one, would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. There's a lot of us who have had an experience with the Lord that's just absolutely undeniable. We remember that first time that we accepted Christ, how amazing it was. You're like, wow, I feel different. I know that I'm different. I'm a brand new person. I'm born again. I'm a new creation. And it comes through faith in Jesus Christ. I love this description. I love it how Peter said it, and I love it how Luke recorded it. Wiped out. Your sins are wiped out. Friends, we will never arrive to a point to where we never have to maintain our relationship with Christ while we're here on this earth. We'll never arrive. We'll arrive in eternity, but we're always going to have to work on our relationship with the Lord while we're here on earth. Friends, I just want to encourage you again to give your best to the Lord every day. He's given you the ability that you have, so work for Him. Let your seal of approval and everything that has your mark on it please the Lord. So give the Lord your best every day, because I promise you, eternity is going to be worth it. And our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed.